Welcome to Super Tati's for Parshas Vayishlach. This one is being recorded early. It's still before Parshas Vayetze. And I'm doing this because I will not be around in my normal schedule, but I want to make sure you have something. One of the things that I like to do often is to encourage brainstorming and creativity. So the process is not just about a perfunctory recitation of something, but something where people can get their minds into the learning process. And sometimes the easiest way to do that is a brainstorm. So for example, for Vayetze, you open up the Abarbanel and see all of his different interpretations of, you know, what happened at Meimariva, or you open up the Abarbanel and you say, okay, what are the different ways to understand Yaakov's vision of the Sulam? One other sefer that I would recommend using is less used, but is a great value, is the Ralbag. Ralbag, Rav Levi ben Gershon. He is more used typically for Nach than he is for Chumash. And in Nach, the tendency is to kind of use him just as a simple Mepharish, just like the Radak. But one of the features that he does is he will give periodically what he calls the To'alos, which is kind of the Lekachs, the Lemaises, the lessons that you're supposed to learn. So, parenthetically, my daughter had a project for school where I think she was supposed to say, you know, in the first however many prakim of Malachim, what are the lessons that we learn? And I said, well, that's a hard project. I guess Mora wants you to do Chazar. She said, yeah, probably. And I said, well, why don't you just flip to the Ralbag and see what he says? Because he's already done the work for you. And we found the Ralbag with 30 different lessons. And we picked the 8 that we liked, and I told her to cite the Ralbag to Mura, and I gave her the lesson, and I said, remember, dear, work smarter, not harder sometimes. And I thought that it was an eye-opening experience, and I expect that she will probably remember what the Ralbag does. So the same goes to you here. I'd like to just use this piece where he's asked, when Yaakov is preparing for his meeting with Esav, what do we learn from the way that he prepares and the way that he acts, the way that he meets Esav, and he gives all these to'alos. So I'm going to share them with you, and then you can really use this in a lot of different ways. So the first one is that if you have a sone and you want to get rid of their hatred, you need to try to get close to them and tell them all about yourself, and that will hopefully get the two of you closer together. Because if you don't tell them about your life, then whatever kind of hatred they have will just remain. So meaning, I guess, maybe they know a little bit more about you, then they can kind of, you know, wrap their heads around you a little bit better. So Yaakov sent these malachim to tell Esav all about him so he can start loving him. This is interesting because you can spend a lot of time working on this in the connection to Birtzos Hashem Darche Ish, Gam Oivav Yashlimito. Meaning Shlomo Melech says that this can happen without all of this work. And if you look in the Shor Bitachon, there's a piece there with direct reference to that pasuk. So that is a worthwhile consideration. The second one is that a person should prepare for worst case scenarios. And he doesn't say here, hope for the best, but prepare for the worst case scenarios, meaning my brother could be very, very angry at me and be ready for war. So I need to be ready for that. This third one is that we need to, in a situation where there could be, you know, could be danger, that we need to prepare to mitigate the damages. And to do that, he says that Yaakov, you know, splits up his camp, so a potential damage would only happen more likely to half of his camp than all of his camp. I think that's actually a very nice lekach. You know, you tell your kids, you know, you're bringing this collection of toys to school or something like that. Maybe take half. You know, don't lose them all in one day. Number four is don't stop davening, right? Specifically when there's a sakana, even if he brings a chazal, he says, even if there's a sword on your neck and there's a sakana, please don't stop davening. Realize that davening is the cherev and the keshes, the b'charvi u'kashti, right? You need that davening.
Number five is a little bit more distant, but it's an important hashkafa that comes out of it, is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a yi'ud, when he says he's going to do something for you, you need to have a little bit of self-doubt that, you know, it may be conditional. So this is by Yaakov. It says, V'yir Yaakov ma'od v'yetzer lo. He's worried that he lost. He says, katonti. He says, maybe I lost my zechuyos. So it's not just a meet of tzaddikim, I guess. The idea is that we need to understand that maybe our behavior changed the game. Number six is we need to be mevater, even to our sonei, to be able to give something, and we need to be able to lower ourselves until we make good with somebody. Even though you may not like this person particularly for all the reasons that they got into that position in the first place, and it's hard to do, you try to give them so you can be shalim with them. So that's a worthwhile endeavor. Number seven is keep out of dangerous places. It says, Shiyishmor me'avor b'makom shiyebo sakana, imlo achar hanisayin shizborlo, unless you've already shown and tested, she'ein sakana be'avro b'makom ahu. So this is why Yaakov tried to see if he would pass that Mamar Yavok, to see whether or not he could go back and see whether there would be any nezek. So he wanted to check it first before all the people were there to make sure everybody would be safe. Number eight is just to remind us of the great hashkacha HaKadosh Baruch Hu has over the people who have great dveikus to him. And then this is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes his name to show the great hashkacha that he had over them. And then the name Yisrael shows that this is something that can be l'doros as well. Number nine is the limitations of human intellect. There are certain things we simply can't guess, and this is why the Malach says, Lama ze tish'al yishmi. In this time, there are already lots of intellectuals who are trying to maximize the intellectual position, and this pairs it back slightly. And number nine is the Mila of Yaakov, because he got to the Madrig of a Malach, to the point where he could even fight with a Malach. Second Zvar Torah is just an observation and figure out how to do with this. Let's do it as a question. I believe I've mentioned it before on this, but I think it's an extraordinary observation, is that Rabbi Yosef Blau noted that Yaakov prepared for the biggest ordeal of his life, a war with Esav. He prepared in every way humanly possible, as the Rabbag mentioned. He says he prepares b'tfila, he prepares with Melchoma, and he prepares with Doron, all of the three of them. And it's interesting, if you take a look parenthetically in the footnotes to Sefer Emunah v'Hashgacha, he tries to be bedayik that the first of the three has to be tefillah, which in my mind is wonderful, because it says, well, you know, we have all these different methods, but what's the first responder, as it were? And he says it's tefillah. But nevertheless, that ordeal doesn't happen, says Rabbi Blau. So then he has a ordeal, which is fighting with a Malach all night, and he doesn't prepare, meaning he doesn't know what's coming, so there is no direct focused preparation on that. So the question Rabbi Blau asks, and I can leave open, is how was he ready for such a thing if it was the biggest ordeal and he did not have any direct preparation? Next is another list. Let's do another list. There is a list that we should also consider, is why is it that there was shlichus to Esav before kind of their meeting? That seemed like an interesting approach. I understand that this is the Durum, but the Abarbanel gives four reasons. Reason number one is he wanted to show to Esav that he was rich and honorable. You know, sometimes we have to speak to, it seems clear, sometimes we have to speak to other people in their language. So that's just, you know, for Esav, money talked. Number two is to check if Esav still wanted to kill him. This is another good brainstorm for them. Number three is trying to get Esav to stop hating him, meaning maybe a little bit like the Rabbag, is to see if that's a way to make peace.
He speaks to him in an extraordinarily honorable way. Ko tomru adoni le'esav. It's interesting, if you look, there's a machlokes between the Ramban and Ralbag, whether or not that was the proper behavior, or whether it was too subjugated. And then there is a additional tachlis, and that is to see if he could appease Esav, in that he's showing that the brachos didn't really work for him. Says in Lavan Garti, right? Meaning, why is he telling his whole biography here? He's trying to tell him that the brachos didn't work, and maybe I didn't really get them from you. Maybe you're going to get them. You know, maybe they're for you. And that could be kind of a little bit of an achama. So I will tell one story. This is a story I don't understand, but it's a story that Chavrusa told me he heard at a conference recently. And some people like these kinds of stories. So I'm going to put it out there and I'll let you decide what you want to do. So in Rabbi Chaim Brisker's backyard, apparently, you know, they weren't particularly wealthy, and a bird came one day and laid an egg in his backyard. Everybody was happy because they needed something to eat. They took the egg and cool it. And nobody thought much of it. But then the bird came the next day and it happened again. And nobody thought too much of it. And the next day the bird came and it happened again. And finally the kid told the father, the child told his father, Chaim, hey, what's going on? Something weird is happening with this bird. I don't really understand it. And Reb Chaim said, the next time the bird comes, tell me and I'm going to come out. So this child told Reb Chaim the fourth day. And Reb Chaim went out and saw the bird. And he said, hutalach, hutalach, hutalach. And I mean, it's mutter for you. And the bird left and never came back. And they asked him what was the pesher adavar. And Reb Chaim said, look, in this world, we take our debts to the next world, and if we don't take care of our debts, we have to come back and take care of them. And it seems as if this bird was somebody who owed me money. He looked back in his ledger. He said that, you know, there was somebody who died, never paid a debt. So it's just a reminder that we all need to be very, very, very punctilious about being fair and just and following halacha with respect to money. I don't know what to do with this story. I asked my chavrusa what to do with this story, who shared it with me. I'll leave it with you. You could probably find this out in the Olam, a broader description of what people do with it, but I'm digesting it. I'm going to leave it for you as well. Have a wonderful Shabbos.